Welcome back to Something Awesome. I'm Mike, and that's Rick. Today's a good one, man. We're going to talk about our favorite independent video games. And
yeah.
I'm very excited about this topic, because there's a couple ways we could attack it. Like, you and I were talking about this. Like, we could do an entire episode about what we consider
an independent games. Yeah.
The way I went with it, for me specifically, was nothing, even if it was a small studio, nothing that was published by a major publisher.
Yes.
So, like, I would love to have said, Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, which is, it's a fantastic game, but I think it was released by EA. A Way Out, which is the same guy.
Oh, I remember the game.
That's released by EA. I didn't actually play through that yet. And then their most recent game, It Takes Two, I haven't played through yet. But I did play through Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, and it's a fucking fantastic game. But I wanted to kind of like keep it something that wasn't published by a major publisher.
Something that was first started from the ground.
Right, right. Which we'll kind of get into with my honorable mentions when we get there. How did you attack your independent games list, sir?
Pretty much the same way.
Okay, cool. Very cool.
I did my best too, because like I had to do some research to make sure it wasn't technically an indie game.
Right.
Like one of them, I'm still not sure if it's technically an indie game.
Okay.
But I don't know. You let me know, because I think you might know about this game.
Okay.
You can correct me on, or I'm sure everyone will correct us on the comments. But for the most part, like that's kind of how I tried to go about it.
Very cool. Yeah.
It was difficult. It was a difficult one.
Yeah.
Especially because some studios have been bought out by bigger companies.
But if the game was released when they weren't bought out by that company, then cool.
Then like, we're okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a game on my honorable mentions list that was originally released by EA, but then they since bought themselves back and are self-published now for the same game. But I didn't want to add that because it's a little... so yeah, how do you want to start? You want to go back and forth?
Honorable mentions?
Yes.
I guess I do have an honorable mention.
Here are my two.
But you can go first, because I know you're more video game than
Here's my two honorable mentions. The first one I want to mention is a game that came out in 2021. Knockout City. And the reason why it's an honorable mention is because it was originally published by EA. Independent developer, but the game was published by EA. Since then, it has been self-published. It's self-published now. But I didn't feel right putting that on the list, even though I have the Platinum on PS4 and the Platinum on PS5. I played it for 150 hours this year. Played it for probably 200 hours last year. It's a fantastic game, but it didn't start as an independently published video game. And the other one I want to throw out there, and this is an honorable mention, only because I haven't played it in a while, but they have since been bought by Epic. That's Rocket League. Again, another game I have the Platinum in. Another game I put hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours to in the first couple of years. I've gone back to it occasionally since then, but I just couldn't see putting it on my list because I haven't really played it with any kind of consistency for a couple of years. But Rocket League is a fantastic game, and so is Knockout City. Those are my two honorable mentions.
I'm going to save my honorable mention, because if this game doesn't qualify, then I'm going to toss that in, because I know this one will be
okay, a
qualification. So I don't have any honorable mentions then.
Okay.
So with that being said, we can get into our number five.
Number five. And this is in a very particular order, unlike other episodes we've done where things were not in a particular order.
Yes.
This is very particular. This is my fifth favorite independent game of all time. And that game is Spelunky. I don't know if you've ever played Spelunky.
Shit, I forgot about that game.
I put in a lot of hours on that game on Vita. That's where I played it.
Remember that fucking game. Holy shit, I forgot.
It is a roguelike. It's you die, it's over, but it's not really a roguelike. It's procedurally generated, so it's... Yeah, you don't bring anything back in with you. You start from scratch every single time to try and get to the boss and beat the boss. And it's an underground like cave exploration, and there's all these little enemies, and it's side-scroller, 16-bit style graphics. It's fucking fantastic. They would do these daily challenges where to see how far you could get in a specifically a seed where they would have like this, everybody's gonna get this exact run. How far can you get? And how far can you get on the leaderboards? And I would do the dailies every single fucking day on the Vita. Every day. And yeah, man, I love that video game. It's so much fun. I haven't played Spelunky 2. I hear that's fucking fantastic also. But I just haven't played that one. But Spelunky is my number five favorite independent video game.
Okay, but my number five, which I kind of hurt me to put this so low, but there's just some other better games.
Uh-huh.
And I feel bad because of the topic of the game.
Okay.
Shady Part of Me.
I don't know that game.
You don't know that game?
No, I don't know that game.
Oh, my God. Okay. So, Shady Part of Me is a... I have the description here. It just makes it easier for me.
Sure, dude.
Shady Part of Me is a very story-focused puzzle platformer. Okay? Where you play as a girl and her shadow. However, there's a lot more to it than the stories unfold. The story follows a young girl who appears to be in a hospital, likely some sort of mental facility, which she is trying to escape.
Okay.
So basically, it's a puzzle platformer. So you basically play two sides of the shadow. Where you're playing the shadow and the girl. The girl hides from, plays in the shadow. Hiding from the sun, okay, while the shadow plays in the sun, jumping around from place to place.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
The story about it, like I just read, is fantastic. It does have to do with mental health and things like that. So if you are kind of worried about that, it does make you feel.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like the puzzle in this game, the platforming in this game is insane. Fucking perfect, dude. Yeah,
that's cool.
Like jumping around, trying to get around, because like there's thorns you have to get around to, and then like you can cover those thorns up if either your shadow or your actual self hits one of the triggers to drop like a board to make a shadow to get around it. So like it's trying to execute to get both.
Really fucking cool.
It's a lot of fun. It's basically trying to get I have the full playthrough, which I could probably put on my YouTube if anybody wants to see it, where you have to get one towards the other, or both of them to land in one specific spot to trigger the next next puzzle.
That's a very cool concept. There's some other, like I think Ratchet and Clank did a game similar to that. Not Crack in Time. I think it's Crack in Time, and it was originally supposed to be called Clock Stoppers, but it's a timing, like
a Ratchet in Time or something like that.
I think it's called a Crack in Time, but it was originally called Clock Stoppers, something which like would that, have been a great title,
because I do remember that.
But yeah, that's cool. I like that concept.
But yeah, it's really good. The puzzles get harder and harder, of course, to the point where I had to stop stream because I couldn't figure out the puzzle.
It's funny that this game is on Rick's list, because if there's two things about Rick that are the bane of his existence, it's platforming and puzzles.
But I enjoy them. I like to be hurt.
Yeah.
That is my natural state. But yeah, the game is fantastic. The storytelling is good. The person who voices the girl is, plays Cassie on Skins. I forgot her last name. Hannah Murray. She plays Cassie in Skins. I know she was in like
The UK Skins.
UK. Yeah, fuck the American version. American version can go fuck itself. Okay.
That's a different episode.
That's a callback for a different podcast. But yeah, the UK, the real Skins.
Of course, I knew that. Just wanted to bring it up to watch you get angry about it.
Which I did make my online friends watch. Well, me and another friend made our online friends watch it. But
that's
anyways,
great.
Because one of them did watch a little bit of the US version. We're like, no, that was shit. But yeah, Cassie is in this. She plays. She does the voice for that. And I was actually recently watching a streamer play this, and they got stuck at the exact same part that I got stuck. And they stopped at the exact.
And you're like, I feel validated.
All right, I did. We walked away.
That's great, dude.
But I highly recommend it if you like puzzle games. I got it on sale because it was on Epic on sale.
Steam or Epic?
It was on Epic.
PC.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is on all platforms. I think it's even on the Switch. I think it recently just went on the Switch.
Okay.
Last year.
I'll have to check that out.
But
I'm looking for a reason to pick up my Switch.
Yeah, check it out. If you like platforming and puzzles, this is good. Especially when you have to switch between the two.
Yeah.
He gets tough. But the story is fantastic. Gameplay is fantastic. The art is amazing. It's like ink droplets almost. It's cool. I like it a lot.
I do like puzzle platformers. One of the games that didn't quite make my list was a Vita launch title called Escape Plan, where you are a blob and you get bigger and smaller to make through.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, it's a really fun game. But yeah, I do like
shady,
stuff like
that. Shady part of me.
Shady part of me.
Shady definitely. Side of me?
Shady side of me?
Fuck yeah.
Shady part of me?
Shady part of me.
Shady part of me is a better title.
Okay. Yeah, shady part of me.
All right, cool. My number four game, and I talk about this all the fucking time, and if I'm in like a group on Facebook or Discord and somebody says, I just got a Switch. What's a game I need to buy right now? And everybody's like, oh, Legend of Zelda, Mario Kart, Mario Odyssey. And I'm over here like, yo, you need to get Golf Story.
And, you told me about Golf Story.
And it is a 16-bit art style RPG where the conflict resolution is golf. There's mini golf. There's like full courses. There's mission, like small goals you have to hit with mini golf. Like, oh, you got to hit the ball, drive the ball, and you got to hit in this circle. And like, so it's different types of golf, but that's the conflict resolution. And I've been waiting and waiting and waiting because they have a sequel coming out called Sports Story, which is going to have a bunch. It's golf and like a bunch of different other sports. So I've been waiting for that one. Fucking come on, let's go already. It's been 5 years. But Golf Story it's got a really cool story. And the RPG side of it is very, very of the era it's trying to emulate. There's even a full-on fucking rap battle in the middle of it. But the bottom line is the mechanics, the actual golfing is fucking amazing.
Oh yeah.
It's one of the best golf games I've ever played, and I love Hot Shots Golf, and
we were big fans of Hot Shots.
older golf games like that. This is one of the best golfing mechanic games I've ever played. It is so fucking good, and the story is cool, and the characters are really well written. There's the bullies, and then there's the fucking the nerdy guys, and then there's the fucking the country club pro. He's kind of a dick, like it's really, really, really cool, and it's very evocative of that 90s 16-bit era that it's trying to emulate, and it's fucking fantastic. So if you have a Switch, play Golf Story. It is so good.
I remember you telling me that, like, oh, Rick, you're gonna get Golf Story. You're gonna get Golf Story. I don't think I ever did.
No, you didn't. Every time it fucking goes on sale, I tell you too, like, you should get this game, dude. It's so good. But yeah.
You know, I feel bad sometimes because like I haven't turned on my Switch in I don't know how long. Same with my PlayStation. Yeah. I play more Xbox than anything else. If I'm playing console,
that's funny.
A real side tangent, and we do this all the time.
Yeah, it's good.
But I recently started playing Red Dead Redemption 2.
I love that game.
I started playing the story mode. I got about 2 hours into story mode.
Oh my god, that's nothing. You're not even at the
first. There's a lot. I know there's a lot.
Yeah.
And then I started playing, I kind of stopped because I wanted to get through the online stuff first because some of my friends are playing the Red Dead Online.
So you did enough to open up the online.
So I did enough to open it up.
Gotcha.
I remember back when I wanted to, when I bought Red Dead, the first one, like I didn't like it because I just wasn't a Western guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but this time around, I'm enjoying it. Which is weird because I don't like Westerns.
Yeah. Red Dead Redemption and Red Dead Redemption 2 are two of my favorite video games of all time.
Yeah. Spoiler. I just wanted to real quick bring that up because it's been stuck in my head as far as playing that game and like upgrading guns and I'm saving up money to buy a dog.
Red Dead Redemption 2 is one of those games where it is, again, Rockstar has a way to do this, and I don't know what their secret sauce is, but it's the most mundane, banal shit where it's like, you're going to ride this horse to this town and go get a haircut. And it's like, I don't want to fucking do that. Cut to 2 hours later and you're fucking riding to town to get a fucking haircut. Like it's fantastic. Red Dead 2 is an all-timer, man. What's your number four indie game?
Number four indie game. This is the one that I'm not sure about. Okay. I think it is, but You tell me.
Like Super Mario Odyssey. I don't know if it's an independent game or not.
How'd you know? Shit. Lake.
Oh, I don't know Lake.
You don't know Lake? Okay. I'm figuring if you don't know, it probably is.
Yeah. Could be.
Yeah. It's a game that takes place September 1st, apparently. 1986. It's about this woman who almost can't think of it as a fucking Hallmark movie. She works in this big city and the hustle and bustle, and then she goes home to watch her family home in the small lake city to watch the house because they're, you know, they're off on vacation. While she's there, she has to take up the duty of being the mail person going around delivering people their mail.
Yeah.
It's a real chill, real kickback, relaxed game if you don't feel like doing shooty stuff, I guess. Mm-hmm. So you basically go around delivering people's mails and packages in this sounds, I know it sounds funny.
No, and I'm just upset because you still have yet to buy and play Arcade Paradise, which is also an independent
game, yeah,
which
yeah.
is would have been on the list, but I didn't want to cite bias recency, but it's not.
But yeah, I guess you could say that. But yeah. There's also a story to it.
Yeah.
Where there's a video store. There's like a regular, like, what do you call the, like, everything in one type of store, general store. But the video store, you go to the video store because you can actually go in there and rent a movie.
That's awesome.
And watch the movie.
Very cool.
In the game.
That's awesome.
But you talk to the person who's in charge of the movie, and you start meeting all these different characters inside this lake city. You can develop romantic relationships with pretty much anyone in the city, I want to assume.
That's cool.
Of course, me being the movie nerd, develops a relationship with the woman behind the counter of the video store, of the movie rental store. And what I love about this too is that you can walk around the aisles of the video store and look at all the different titles. And all the different titles, there's variations of like A Karate Kid, a Kung Fu Kid, Back to the Future. I don't remember the name of it. It was like something to the variation of that. Yeah. But all these different 80s movies just with like different titles. And you can go around and you basically make like, you know, those decisions, you know, like you can ask her out on a date. You can, it's all these different interactions that you have with the people around. There's like one of my favorite parts too is there's a campsite where these people are coming around. They like go from town to town and they put their RV in the lakefront and you can go visit them because you got to deliver their mail.
Right.
And they invite you to get high, which I thought was pretty cool.
That's funny, man. This sounds like a really cool game.
If you liked, like you were comparing it to that, you'd probably like this if you just want like a chill, relaxed game. The story's fantastic. There's a lot of different ways, but there's several different ways you can play this because there is also a male interest too. If you want to, you know, go with the male interest as well too. Then there's this diner who's, you know, friends with your family. So like you go there all the time, you meet up with an old friend that you haven't seen because you moved out of the big city or you moved out to the big city and you get to catch up with them. But you're basically playing like almost like a Hallmark type of movie.
That's awesome.
While your main duty is basically to deliver mail.
All right, what platforms is that on?
I think it's now on everything.
Okay.
As well, too. I do have it open right here.
And but, it's called and Lake?
It's called Lake.
Okay.
That's my number four.
Nice. All right. My number three is a game again that I played on Switch. It has since come to other platforms, but my number three is The Messenger, which I talked about.
You talked about that.
Just a few on the last episode. I brought it up in passing. It is a side scroller that plays sort of like a Ninja Gaiden game. The story is you are the messenger. You're set to deliver this message to the next person to deliver the message. It's very cool because it's been like fucking 5 years and I just don't want to ruin it.
Yeah.
Because there's really cool shit in it. But I feel like if I don't talk about it, I feel like people don't play this game because they think it's something it's not. And it comes across as like a very Ninja Gaiden, like 8-bit style NES Ninja Gaiden action platformer game, which it is. But there's a twist at a certain point of the game where you time jump and it becomes a different, it's still an action platformer, but it becomes a different time era, different era, different things, different stuff. Then there is another twist where it becomes a Metroidvania game at the end. And it's fucking fantastic. The story is really, really cool. All the different eras, the sound is by far my favorite thing in the game. So it's got this really awesome soundtrack. And your character, there's points where you can go underwater and stuff like that. Oh. And as you go underwater, the music become and sound effects become muffled as if you are underwater.
Oh, I love when they do that.
When you come out, it's back at full blast again. And the music of the different eras, the time jumps and stuff is so fucking, it's different. It's so good. It is one of, you're going to hear me say this about almost everything. It was one of my favorite games of all time. And I believe it was 2017 or 2018. And it got my game of the year when we were doing some shit we like. It was my game of the year.
That's why I remember it, yeah.
It's so fucking fantastic. And then it came out on everything else like a year later. It was like a timed exclusive on Switch. And the reason why it gets overshadowed is because another fantastic game came out that year called Celeste, which had a very similar mobility structure to the Messenger. And Celeste has a fantastic story and is a fantastic game, but it does one thing and does it really fucking well. And I feel like the Messenger does like three or four things and does them really fucking well. So please go check out the Messenger, especially. And again, I gave away some of the twists in the game, but without context. And the context we talked about on a previous episode, the journey of the character and how you get to the end is what's so fantastic about this video game. So everybody, please go check out the Messenger. I think it's everywhere now. It started on Switch. And you can get it anywhere now. So
my next one, which you might be surprised, it might be lower on my list, because I talk about it a lot, and that is Gone Home.
Okay.
Respectable number three.
Uh-huh. Fantastic.
Gone Home. I remember, were you the one that told me, or was it Bryce that told me to play it?
I think I told you to play it. Dan also was a big fan of it, too.
Or maybe it was Dan, too. I don't know. Somebody told me to play it.
I didn't play it till it came to consoles. I didn't play it on PC.
I played it from Steam because I knew it was on sale.
Right.
That's kind of when I ventured into Steam. But anyways, on my Mac.
Right.
Gone Home is my number three. If you haven't played it, it's a great, click around, walk around game.
Yeah.
It's not this
fucking walking simulator. Go fuck yourself. It's but not you. Not
is that what
you,
they call it?
Some people call it that.
I called it Clickabout.
Yeah. It's really cool. It takes place in like the 90s.
It takes place in 95.
God, there's great music.
This is what I love about this game is the music is fantastic. You have like music from Lookout Records. From freaking Green Day's first I think that was their first
release
signing, what do you call them?
Major label
there you go.
Label release, whatever. The Lookout wasn't major, but
it was an
independent label.
It was big in the 90s. A lot of Lookout Records music was in there, which is probably why I'm really partial to it.
Mm-hmm.
But also the storytelling, again, fantastic storytelling. You just walk around, you come home, no one's home, you don't know what's going on, you see a letter, you read the letter.
It's such a mind fuck, because you think it's going to be one type of game.
I thought it was going to be a scary game the entire time. And because I went into it knowing nothing. I think it was Bryce that told me that.
Probably.
It might have been Bryce, because I kept messaging him too.
Yeah.
Saying like, I'm waiting for the pop-up scare. Yeah. Like it never came.
Where's the monster that's going to murder me? Yeah. And that's what you feel
See like a red stuff in the fucking, what's it called, where you shower? Tub.
Yeah.
You know, and then you just see like the manic panic dye.
Yeah.
Red dye there. Like, it's just red dye. But it gets so creepy. But you're going around listening to music, looking at VHS tapes, reading the story of
reading like, notes, listening to voice messages.
And then you start seeing the story of her relationship with her friend and it just getting deeper and deeper. And then you start figuring out why like her parents don't like kind of not necessarily like disowned her or anything, but like why they like aren't there to see her.
Yeah.
And it's because she ends up having a relationship with her friend. and a friend who's going off to the army. And then you basically, that's kind of like how you discover, I don't want to say too much in case you haven't played it yet. You basically make your way up to the attic after going through the whole game. You could play the game in probably in under an hour, maybe hour 30. Mm-hmm. But if you really want to be thorough about it, I think it might take 2.5 hours.
Yeah. There's a trophy for beating it in under 60 seconds on PS3.
You could beat it in under 60 seconds?
Yeah.
God, yeah. I don't even know how you would do that.
You got to haul. I'll tell you after.
You have to haul ass to the attic.
But you have to, there's two or three things you have to do before you can haul ass to the attic. But you can do it in like 60 seconds. I got that trophy on PlayStation. I'm proud of that one.
But yeah, that's basically,
that was after I played through it the first time all the way and took like 4 hours because I was reading all of the I'm gonna talk about this one with you. All the VHS labels, like recorded and like stuff you would record with a VCR, not like actual released purchasable things,
like waiting for television to show the movie and hit record,
all the notes and drawings in the locker. I haven't played this game in like 6 years and I still remember all this shit. It is so fucking good. Again, all the music, the story of her sister and the relationship and all of that stuff.
How they obtained the house. Yeah.
Ugh. It is. If you have not played Gone Home, you can literally play it fucking anywhere.
It's on everything.
You got to play this game, man. It is so good. So good.
Good. I'm yeah, but that's my number three. Very good. Very respectable place, I think.
Mm-hmm. My number two is a phone game.
Phone game.
Yes, it's a phone game I made you play.
No way!
Florence is number two on my list. Man, see, I already like this game. It is so fucking good. It only took you about a half hour to play. It's on Switch now too, but I recommend playing this on the phone. You have to.
Phone is good. Yeah.
There's a. Again, spoilers, a video game made Mike cry. And I think when we originally talked about it, I got choked up too. So I think I'll be okay this time. But it's a story about a girl who is going through relationship problems. Had a relationship, lost the relationship. And you kind of go through all of that timeline of meeting this person, going on a date with this person, moving in with this person, shit going bad with this person, moving out from this person and moving on with your life afterwards and realizing that there's life after a devastating breakup. But I'm going to spoil something in this game that really, and this is, it's what brought it home for me. Like, as
spoiler alert,
it's fucking fin. There is a, early on when you first meet, you take a picture together and you have that picture and it's in a fucking photo, frame, and it's up and it's prominent throughout the game. And then when the breakup happens and the girl's having regrets, there's a section of the game where it's the picture is torn into pieces and fuck, I'm not gonna make it.
I know what you're talking about.
And the goal, god damn, it's been like 6 years and I still can't fucking do this.
You can do it.
The point of this specific part of the game is all these pieces, the photo bursts into pieces and they're flying away from each other. And on a phone that has multi-touch and you have 10 points of touch, you're trying to fucking hold this picture together because you're trying to keep this relationship
together. Yeah.
I sat there and was like sobbing in my, like, it was like 2 a.m. when I played it and I had my phone down on the table and I was trying to, with every finger on my fucking hand, hold this picture together, and I couldn't hold the picture together and I was fucking devastated. And as you can tell, it still hits me pretty fucking hard, man. It's fucking great, man. Florence is
shit, man.
So fucking good. And if you haven't played it, you can get it on your Apple phone or your Android phone. It's like fucking $3 or something. It's really cheap. It's probably like $6 or $7 on Switch.
It's worth it. It's worth every fucking penny. I can tell you that now.
But please play it on the phone because that's how it was created. It was created for a mobile phone experience.
Yeah.
And
I think that's what makes it even more better too, because like in this digital age, you know, everything is done on your phone. So like, I think playing it on your phone also kind of gives you that intimate connection with the story as well, too.
And that,
because that's kind of how everyone now consumes everything in life.
And the specific sequence I just talked about, we've all fucking been there. And it's such a great metaphor for holding on, trying to hold on to something that you know you should just let go. But you're holding on with every fucking fiber of your being and ounce of strength. And cut to me at 3 a.m. at my fucking kitchen table doing this with my phone, trying to get these. dude, it's fucking heart-wrenching. It is so good. Go play Florence. It's fucking fantastic, man.
I remember you got me to play that too before the end of the year because you told me like this is good, like this will be on your list.
This is a fucking, this is a Rick ass Rick game, right?
Exactly, Rick ass Rick game. And funny enough, I forgot about the game, so it's not on my list. No!
I thought this was gonna be one that was on our list together.
Yeah, I forgot about that game. Maybe for good reason.
It's fantastic.
I would put that in my honorable mention.
Yeah, it's so fucking good, man. God, it's so good.
It's such a good game. Yeah, and then you saying that reminded me of another game, but this one I don't know if it's also indie game or not. I'm just going to say it now. It's honorable mention, I guess you can say. Okay. Getting a little sidetrack here, but Unpacking. Have you played that?
No, but I want to play that so bad. Yes, I know. I know. I've heard about it.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you like Florence, you're going to love Unpacking.
Yeah, I need to play that.
Unpacking. I don't know if it's still free on Game Pass, because that's how I played it.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize
it was a while ago. Okay. It might still be there. But yeah, Unpacking. Oh, that's another one.
Yeah.
It's such a simulator game, too. You just have to unpack your boxes, put everything in its right place. And it tells a fantastic story as you're playing it. You actually put in your own name or whatever name you want to put in. So you can immerse yourself into this game. Oh, so
your shit shows up in the game. That's cool.
Yes, it's good. It's like that's a awesome. It's a step up of Florence. But yeah, I think you'll like that a lot.
Very cool.
But my number two.
Yeah, what's your number two? I'm kind of bummed Florence isn't on there. Shit.
I know. I forgot. I forgot because of the trauma.
It is. It's very. Yeah, it's very traumatic, man.
My number two is a game I played on stream, a game that Bryce made me play, that I went into it not knowing anything about.
Okay.
And that is Little Miss Fortune.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Bryce fucking was all about that game.
Yeah, I knew nothing about the game. Oh, you gotta play it, but let me know when you're gonna play it because I want to watch you play it. I'm like, okay. And yeah, I'll play it. So I played it. I played Little Miss Fortune, and by Kill Monday. They're in the production of their next game right now. But yeah, you basically play this little girl called Miss Fortune. And she basically kind of runs away from home in a sense. She basically gets distracted and runs away from home. You find the dog. So you cross the street to chase the dog. Mm-hmm. You get up to the dog. You know, it's one of the first moments of where you have no idea where you think this is a cute game and you have no idea where it's going. Spoiler alert. There's two decisions you can make. I didn't make the second decision because I only played this once. But one of the decisions I made was throw the ball to the dog.
Oh, no.
Like,
don't tell me dog gets hit by a car.
But there's a freeway in the background. So I'm starting to think, no. You haven't seen it?
No. I didn't watch you play this.
Oh, okay. So I think I did this in one sitting.
I had intended on playing it at the time, which is why I didn't watch you play it.
Okay.
But I never got around to it.
It's on all platforms now, by the way.
Okay.
But yeah, so I made this like, I was like, all right, I'm going to throw the ball. And then when I saw the freeway, then I'm like, no, the ball's going to run into the freeway traffic. Like, no. And then what happens is she throws the ball and it comes back and hits her in the face.
Oh, okay.
And she falls to the floor.
Okay.
So then the dog just kind of like sees you and starts barking, and she says something like, "Oh, I didn't like that." And you can see the clip on my Instagram because it's there. Well, I'm not gonna set it free because I see the highway over there, so I'll play with it. No, I'm gonna throw the ball and then then it's gonna snap the leash and it's gonna run.
What did I do?
What the fuck?
Broken now, Mr. Boy. touch breaks. What's wrong with me?
There's nothing wrong with you.
Sometimes the hell is wrong with this game? Just unfair. And then the next thing you know, you hear cracking. And then a branch just falls down and kills the fucking dog.
That's fucked up. Okay.
Okay, so once you get to that part, you have no idea what you're in for. So it kind of throws you off.
Okay.
It was all made by I don't remember her last name, but I know her first name because it's very, I think it's Italian, Natalia.
Okay.
She and her team created this game, the story by her, characters by her. I have it with me. No, I would have brought it, but like, I love this game so much that I actually bought the beanie.
Oh, that's right.
It's up there, but I'm not going to get up to get it. But the beanie that it says, what does it say? It's her catchphrase.
Maybe you'll see it in a future episode.
Maybe you'll see it in a future episode. but it's basically, yikes forever.
Okay.
Yeah, that's her catchphrase. Yikes forever.
That's good.
But it's a fantastic game. I love the game. There's also more games to it. I played that first, and then like their Kill Monday's first game is called, I'm forgetting the first game. It's sort of connected to the same world of Little Miss Fortune as well too. The first game is a little bit more, you gotta read and point and click. No. I'm not a fan of reading.
Right.
Dyslexia. that was a hard one to stream because I did a lot of reading, because when I streamed, I did the voices and stuff like that.
Right.
Little Miss Fortune is my number two. I really like that game. I'm trying to figure out. I want to know what the other game is called.
Go ahead and look it up.
Monday.
I'll start getting into my number one here. I'm glad I started.
Frambo. There we go.
Oh, okay.
Frambo was their first game.
Oh, shit. Okay. I haven't played that either, but I know that game more than I know.
But Frambo was a lot longer than Little Miss Fortune. I also found it a little bit more difficult and a little bit more strenuous to
play. Gotcha.
But it's a great game. I love the game.
All right. Well, I'm glad I went first. I'm glad you're going to be finishing with your number one, because it would be a little anticlimactic to finish with mine, because all you have to do to get my take on my number one is rewind this episode a little bit, because my number one is Gone Home.
No way.
Yeah.
Honestly, I didn't even think it was going to be on your list.
I fucking love that game, man. I told you I played it so many times, and then I looked at the trophy list and I was like, there's a trophy for beating it in 60 seconds. Let's fucking go. I don't want to give anything away on that one because it has to do with things you have to do in the game.
Yeah.
We already covered it. Everything Rick said about it. It's fucking fantastic. All like the handwritten notes. It's one of those games where I painstakingly went through every fucking cabinet and drawer and desk in the house because I wanted to read the notes. I wanted to see what was in there. I wanted to see how these people lived their life, and I wanted to be a part of that world. And sitting in the living room with the fuzz on the TV and looking at the magazines that are on the coffee table and videotapes that are scattered around, and looking at the notes and the drawings in the locker, and that's when you really get
filing cabinets, the photos on the floor.
So good, man.
The feeling of walking into the den and the way it looks just feels so fucking 90s.
Yep. And I guess like we talked about the handwritten notes of like X-Files episodes 1 through
whatever. Yes. Oh my god, I forgot about that. Yeah.
The mixtapes in the locker, and when you really get the first hint of like the Lookout Records stuff when you open that locker and that's the song starts playing and stuff. It's
Bratmobile, I think
was the name. It's so good, man. It is so good. That's my number one.
I can't believe that's your number one.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It was almost Florence.
That makes a lot of sense.
Gone Home didn't make me cry, and almost make me cry fucking 7 years later like Florence did, but I think Gone Home is a fantastic game. And I don't want to be too hyperbolic about it, so I'm not going to say it was fucking groundbreaking or anything like that, but it definitely was a game that after it came out, everybody started doing games like that.
It started a movement. or pushed.
I really feel like it. Yeah, it popularized.
Yeah, there you go.
And it's not an adventure game. It's not like a point-and-click adventure game like a Monkey Island or anything like that. It's got some of those elements to it. So I'm not even going to try and say like it took the idea of an adventure game and it does it better, because it's not. It is an exploration game. It is...
You
almost feel like a detective, like putting things together, and it's a puzzle game, sort of. There's no actual puzzles you interact with, but you're trying to piece together the story of these people, and it's so fantastic, and it's so immersive, and everything about it is fucking great.
I like to consider it like an interactive novel book.
Yeah, it's definitely on that. It could be interactive novel, because that's a genre now too. But I really feel like, again, I don't want to say, like I said, hyperbolic shit, like groundbreaking and fucking first of its kind. And
No. Yeah.
But it definitely started a fucking movement, man. It definitely started a movement.
Real quick, I thought of something else that I can throw out there too as an honorable mention. Because this was another one where I thought it was going to be in my top five, but I'm like, no, I like these games just a bit more. So I would even probably call this my six. If it is an indie game or at all or not, I'm not sure. It's hard to define that when doing this list, and that is What Remains of Edith Finch.
Oh, that's an indie game for sure.
That is an indie game. Okay, that's what I figured. I absolutely loved playing that game online. Mm-hmm. There's actually one of the viewers, when I played it, like someone came in, I can't remember her name. Was it Liz something on Twitch? I don't know. But she came in and like I was talking to, like, she was watching and we were talking the entire game, just talking about it and like why she loved it so much. And as I'm playing it, like, it's just a walkabout, I guess.
Yeah.
As you want to say. Or I like to call it a point and clicky game.
Yeah.
Picky clicky, yeah. And it's just a beautiful story. That's another one that I want to throw out there as an honorable mention. My number one is pretty obvious. And that's Portal? Indie game?
Its roots are
indie.
But it is, you know, it's in that same, it's like Half-Life, and it's in that,
it's in the vein.
I'm gonna give it to you because of the way that game started. That was a full-on independent project that happened to get picked up because of how awesome it was. But Portal that's fucking great. I like that. I'm going to give you a pass on that one. Okay. Yeah.
If not, I got backup.
That's a Valve game. But if we want to be technical for a while, Valve was independently releasing stuff. But now they've become a huge...
Now they're huge.
Yeah. ...publisher.
But yeah, Portal, I mean, everyone's played fucking Portal. It came out on the Orange Box.
Yeah.
And on Xbox, Half-Life 2,
Half-Life 2 Episode 1, and Portal. Or Team Fortress 2.
Team Fortress, yeah. And Portal.
Yeah.
But yeah, Portal, like, it took me a while to play that one, that's for sure. I played it on Steam.
Yeah.
Again, yeah, like, I fucking love puzzle games. Yeah, that's a shady part of me, as I mentioned earlier.
As much as he hates puzzles, as much he as loves I puzzle fucking games. Hate
puzzles and platformers, I love them.
Yeah.
Which is funny. No, I'm not even gonna get into that. But yeah, I love fucking Portal. Yeah, Portal's I love the first game. One. I know the second one probably wouldn't be considered indie.
Right? This is one of the things. This wasn't what we were
trying
about.
To talk yeah. about. Yeah, it's like, what's considered indie?
Because it's a Valve game. Like, it's a Valve. Made and published game, but so technically it's a self-published game.
What are your thoughts? Let us know.
Yeah, let us know where you're.
We're trying to figure this out.
I was going to put Portal 2 on this list, but I left it off because of how like gray area it is of an independent studio.
I mean, I like both games equally, so it was really hard for me to pick. That's why I just picked Portal since it's the first one,
right?
But like. The way just she backtalks you the entire fucking game.
GLaDOS
just fucking backtalks you, like, oh, you did a good job for a human or whatever. Like, I just love that. I just thought that it's just fucking clever as shit.
Yeah.
And then the song at the end, fucking classic.
Jonathan Colton,
yeah.
Which are the Jonathan Colton songs are big hits when I play Rock Band.
Yeah. but yeah, that's you know, those, the first one and the second one are like I feel like
they're great. And together, that's something that's a gray area. I'm going to let you have it because it's a gray area. And I would have put them on there, but I was leaning towards the other side of.
Okay.
Valve is such a huge company and publisher now. Like it's. But no, that it's fine. It works. No, it's fine.
I'm just saying, if anyone out there thinks like, oh, no,
that's not an indie game. We're talking about the spirit of independent game making. Yeah.
Then let me adjust if I have to. Take Portal out, move everything up one.
Uh-huh.
So Little Misfortune would be one.
Okay.
And my number five, which again, we did talk about, is the Double Fine game.
Oh, Broken Age?
Broken Age.
I would consider that self-published. I would consider that.
Yeah.
It was actually crowdfunded and self-published. So I would consider that totally independent.
Yeah. But as much as I fucking hated some of the goddamn puzzles in that fucking game, the story was fantastic.
I would love for you to go back and play some of the other stuff like that, like some of the early Monkey Island stuff or...
Oh, I couldn't do it.
Or Day of the Tentacle or any of those games, because in some of those old games, there are points that are completely broken. Like if you progress past something and don't pick something up, you're fucked and you can't finish the game, which would totally fucking murder you.
Yeah.
Not those games specifically, but some of the other point-and-click adventure games are really fucking busted back in the day.
Yeah. Well, the thing about point-and-click adventure for me, like, I know we grew up on the Oregon Trail and Carmen San Diego games back in the early 90s growing up, but with point-and-click adventure games, like, the reason I liked Broken Age was because graphically it was great.
Yeah,
like,
it was really
pretty pleasing on the eyes. Also very vocal too, like they talked. Like usually with point and click games, you have to read
a lot of reading. Excuse me.
I'm bad at reading.
Yeah.
All right, everyone knows that. Like when I was playing Frambo, that took so much out of me when I was playing that game because I was reading everything. You want to perform, you know, for your stream. That's why, like, after Frambo, I was like, I'm never playing a fucking reading game again on stream. Not on stream, at least.
Yeah.
But yeah, that would be, I guess, my number five then.
If people
don't want to count Portal.
Right, well, fuck those people. This isn't their podcast. Yeah. It's our podcast.
Fuck you.
Portal is your number one game. Portal is
my number one.
Yeah.
I guess consider my number six then.
Do you have any other, like, not necessarily honorable mentions, but do you have any other games that were on your list that were, like, hard to cut or... putting on that you want to bring up before we head out?
I'll be honest, I totally forgot about Florence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe it was for good reason.
Yeah.
Like I said, because that was a hard game to play.
Super traumatic.
What Remains of Edith Finch was definitely another good one because that looked very pleasing, very graphically beautiful. The story was beautiful too. Mm-hmm. The way you crawl through all the crawl spaces and attics and whatnot, like the way you transition from the real world to like their dream world was fantastic.
Yeah.
Another game I played on stream too was the Inkblot game. Was it the Swan?
Unfinished Swan?
Unfinished Swan.
Yeah.
That was another one that I fucking love.
It's another one that starts as something and then it's completely different.
And yeah, completely different. One thing that I was hoping to play before we did this, which I don't know if you really consider that studio that made Florence indie anymore, because they make a lot of big games. Do they make kind of big games? Are they still considered indie? Because I mean, they're technically part of a movie company.
Oh, A24, or I know Annapurna.
Yeah.
Oh, that I would consider them independent. Yeah.
Because Stray, I still haven't got to play Stray yet, and that's by them.
I haven't played that either.
Well, and I really
that's Annapurna published. It's different developers. Like, Annapurna is publishing games. So they're publishing independent video games, similar to the way that they're producing independent movies, which I think is really cool.
Okay. Yeah, because I figured if I played that probably would have been one of my top games too. Yeah,
fucking cat game.
It won cats.
It won Best Independent Game at the Game Awards.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Fuck yes.
I think it was independent game. And then
who was up against it?
Best new indie game or something like that.
Oh,
I can't remember. I just remember Stray won like two awards and I was like, fuck yeah, cat game. I haven't played you yet, but fuck yeah, cat game.
Who won Game of the Year?
Elden Ring.
Of course it did.
Yeah. Again, side tangent, because we like to do these. I'm going to say it now. I'm not saying Elden Ring's not a great game and I'm not saying Elden Ring doesn't deserve it. I love From Software and I love their games. I've been playing them since Armored Core on PS2, which are not anything like what the Souls games are. But when Demon's Souls came out, the video game reviewers and journalists on the internet shit all over Demon Souls. Dark Souls came out. Very few people liked it, and they got shit on. Dark Souls 2, Dark Souls 3. The first game that got any kind of buzz from people was Bloodborne. When by people, I mean reviewers and internet and games journalists, in quotes, was Bloodborne. And they all liked the aesthetic, but still didn't like the game because of the style, Dark Souls style of video game. Sekiro got good marks from people.
I heard that.
And good, yeah. Elden Ring. This is all from the same studio, by the way. Elden Ring won Game of the Year. And I still maintain that it's the journalists that hated all the other From Software games are tired of being on the wrong side of history, because if you look at user scores for all those games, they're through the fucking roof.
They're high.
Because they're fantastic fucking video games. So 100% deserves it. I haven't played Elden Ring yet. It's like the only one I haven't. That and Sekiro are the only ones I haven't played in their catalog. So I'm sure it fucking deserves it. But Horizon got snubbed this year on awards. God of War won a lot of awards. But I feel like I haven't played the new God of War yet either.
I heard it was really good.
But I really feel like in any other year, if people, they're just tired of being on the wrong side of history with the From Software style, with the Dark Souls style, and they're finally giving that studio its praise that it's been deserving for the last 10, 15 years. So I'm glad it won, but I don't think in any other year it wins if people are tired of being on the wrong side of history. So I'm glad it won, because I love those style of games. But yeah, that got Game of the Year.
Yeah, they sound like fun games. Like,
they're not. They're not. That's the problem, is they're super punishing. Everybody thinks they're hard. They're not hard.
That's what I was going to say next.
They're punishing. And unforgiving.
Yes, that's the only part. Like I said, in theory, they sound fun. But
yeah,
a person like me could not play that game.
No, bro, no. You could not. Even if you went back to Dark Souls, you wouldn't make it to the first bonfire before fucking throwing your controller through a window.
Yeah, I got too much rage.
Yeah. But yeah, that's kind of what happened at Game Awards this year. A lot of God of War, a lot of Elden Ring, and then Stray won Best New Indie Game or something like that.
I'm glad.
Yeah, good for Stray.
So yeah, that's our top indie games. So if you haven't played any of these games, most of these games, at least my
are
my
everywhere.
List, are pretty much on everything. Also, they're very relaxing to play. Except Florian. Except
for the Messenger. The Messenger is very hectic.
Well, at least on my end. Yeah. Most of my games are kind of like kickback, relax.
Yeah. If you need a good cry, go play the Messenger. I mean,
Florence.
Yeah, definitely Florence. You need a good cry.
But yeah, that's going to be it. Thanks for sticking around. Let us know what your lists are. If anything we missed or we should play.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one right there.
Yeah. And that's going to do it for us. Thanks for sticking around. Don't forget about...
Make sure you check out Stoke Crow Comedy. It's Comedy and Crow, both with K's, on Twitch. And on Bandcamp, where you can get this awesome fucking music that you're hearing right now.
Yes, thank you for the music. We appreciate that. And thank you guys for sticking around and watching our shenanigans. We'll see you next time.